to the Movie Planet's bonus show. All of the bloopers, outtakes, and discussions that have nothing to do with the movie of the week, well, we decided, let's make a show of that too. Enjoy. Into the Avatar movie anyway.
Okay, well, like, it's going to be your cup of tea.
I never watched the show.
Right.
And honestly, I watched the Netflix show that they just did, and it was good. You know, and I was like, okay, I'll watch the cartoon and see what that's like. Mm-hmm. And you know, the cartoon's the fucking cartoon. it's exactly everything that I think anime is, which is surprised faces all the time and waka 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 crap like that. You know, and it's like, listen, this is not who I'm in.
Right.
There is that in Old. I hated Old.
Oh, the beach that makes you old?
I hated Old. I hated it. Here's the thing. I loved the idea of Old until the last 10 minutes. And I remember sitting there with Sam, because we were psyched about this.
Yeah.
Sam and I went to go see it. We were like, this is really good. This is really good. And then when they do the twist and what it is, we both looked at each other like, you fucking kidding me? God damn it. You know? No. Shyamalan'd again.
The Visit?
Loved The Visit.
Okay.
The Visit was great. I will even say I liked After Earth.
Yeah, I did too.
I liked After Earth.
It was solid.
The Village, I love The Village. I even like Lady in the Water.
Village is fantastic. The score is fantastic.
Yeah.
That, was it Hilary Hahn on the violin, on the score?
I don't know who did it, but I love the score.
It's primo stuff.
Yeah.
And then the show, Servant. Mm-hmm. Have you seen any of that?
I watched the first four episodes right before I canceled my subscription, but I was like, okay, this is vintage M Night. I like this.
Yes.
Lady in the Water, another one people don't like, but I like.
Yeah, I did too.
Signs is my favorite M Night movie. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite one. And then of course Sixth Sense and the Unbreakable trilogy is great.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any, have we just named all of them?
Knock at the Cabin.
Okay. I got to watch that again.
Uh-huh.
I got to watch it again because I liked Knock at the Cabin. I remember when I first saw the trailer, I didn't know what the story was. Mm-hmm. Did you know what the story was beforehand?
I read the book years ago.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I had no idea. And my theory on it was the four people who show up were allegories for the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Yeah.
And when it turned out being something else, I was like, well, I like my story better.
It was kind of cool. I had it.
Do you want to alter any of your grades from previous shows? And if so, what is your reasoning for your grade change?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Today is the 81st day of this year.
Yes.
I've only watched 84 movies.
I was going to ask you, how many are you at right now?
You're at 84. So my average has like, you know, declined. Mm-hmm. Those first like 3 weeks, I got through like 40 or 50 some movies. So that's really pumping up my numbers for the year.
And none were short films.
No, I consider those cheating.
Yes. I have been rewatching the Star Wars movies.
Okay. What is it? Machete Order? OG? What are you doing here?
I actually followed the order that we released our podcasts in.
Okay.
So I started episode one and continued on. And it is so fascinating hearing us talk about those movies in a continual way. Mm-hmm. Because we did 1 through 6 having already seen them 1,000 times.
Right.
And when we did Force Awakens, we hadn't seen Last Jedi. We hadn't seen Rise of Skywalker yet. And so then we did Rogue One. We hadn't seen anything beyond that yet. Mm-hmm. Then we did Last Jedi. And now it's like, okay, well, what are we going to do here? And we're all excited about stuff. And we're like, okay, this is great. You know, and I remember we did Last Jedi. I think it was like the weekend of seeing it. Mm-hmm. So we were jazzed anyway.
Right.
But I just got done listening to the Force Awakens podcast, and the number of predictions that we had for what that series was going to be. There were so many things that would have been so much better, but there was one I was listening to. Cause we were sitting there going, well, who's Rey? Who's Rey? Is Rey a Kenobi? Right. Is Rey this? And I go, and at one point I go, what if Rey's a Palpatine? And they're all, we all start laughing. Cause we're thinking of ourselves.
There's no way.
We're thinking of ourselves. Like I go, what if Rey's a Palpatine? And I think JC something's like, you know, yeah. Could you imagine Palpatine having sex? And I was like, yeah, left money at the table. Work the shaft. But we're sitting there mocking the whole thing. Get a towel. You know, yeah. we're mocking it. And then it ends up being the actual damn thing. And we're like, Jesus Christ. You know, I get fuck you as an entertainment, but that really fucked us.
Yeah.
But even The Last Jedi, like I started listening to that one. I was like, you know, we were largely optimistic because we didn't know where it was going. Mm-hmm. And I remember at the very end of that show, I said, I want to give a range for my grade because we need to see what the end is going to be like to justify some of the choices that were made here.
Right.
And when we see what JJ did with the third movie, where he basically said, those are great choices, Ryan. We're going to put those to the side. We're going to go back to my movie. Yes. And I was like, well, I guess no one liked the shit. Okay. But it's been an interesting journey watching 1 through 9. I'm at Last Jedi right now. I'm going to be starting The Last Jedi tonight, actually.
Oh, okay, cool.
Just to kind of be like, okay, maybe I've been unjustly cruel to this movie. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to watch with an open mind. But Force Awakens is so strong. It is mm-hmm. so strong for it to be an epilogue to Return of the Jedi.
Got it. Yeah.
And because I just got to watch it and I was like, God damn, this is such a good movie. So I'm curious to see how I feel about episode 8. And I'm sitting there going, you know what? I'm taking my blinders off. Let's see what happens. Because I'm all about evolving or devolving my grades anyway.
Two questions.
Yes.
Is this in prep for Acolyte? Or is it just happenstance?
It is zero prep for Acolyte.
Okay.
Because Acolyte happens 100 years before Phantom Menace.
But just to get you in the mood.
Nah.
I
think for me, like, I have found that my Star Wars movies are 1 through 9. Mm-hmm. Well, they're 1 through 6. Mm-hmm. And then if I feel like watching an epilogue, it's 7 through 9. I tried to get on board with everything that they're doing over there. Mm-hmm. But it's like Marvel. They've released so much content.
Yep.
And the idea of we're trying to get away from the Skywalker story. We're trying to get away from this. It's like, we get it. Star Wars is the Skywalker story. It is. Mm-hmm. And they're like, but it's such a vast universe. I get it's a vast universe. But the further away from the Skywalkers you get, the less people give a shit.
Yes. Personally.
Yeah.
I want the big wide universe.
Right.
But popular, that's a niche. Like, you're hitting into smaller and smaller target demographics with that, I feel like.
It was kind of like when they did the video games, and they're like, there's a Dengar game, and it's like, who gives a fuck about Dengar? <You know? laughs> We needed that? Really? Uh-huh. Here's Salacious Crumb's Visit Through the Forest, you know?
Listen, I had the Ewok playset as a child.
Oh, who didn't have thing? We loved having, like, the little trap.
Yes. Yep. The second part, are you going to go see the Phantom Menace re-release?
Did they make any changes?
I don't think so.
Probably not.
Okay.
Because unless they're going to re-release all of them, mm-hmm. don't put me in a raft and say, guess what? You're going to go for a ride and then stop before the waterfall.
Mm, yeah.
Because that's what this is. It's a setup movie. And you're like, well, thanks for setting me up. Now I'm going to go home and watch it on my 55 inch.
Yes.
So, yeah. And actually, I was talking to a friend of mine because we were talking about different theaters in the area. And he goes, hey, when was the last time you were at the Belcourt? I was like, well, it's so funny you mentioned that because my buddy Josh at one point asked, hey, you know, you want to go see Hateful Eight at the Belcourt? Mm-hmm. And my first thought was, there's no way in hell I'm going to be sitting in those seats for 4 hours because those seats are the most uncomfortable seats you could find at a theater.
You're talking to someone who sat there for 12 for Lord of the Rings.
And that's what I said. I go, Josh is a glutton for punishment. He saw all 12, and who knows? It might have been the extended editions for all I know. That's how much he loves it.
Yeah.
I go, his fantastic. Ass was numb, I'm sure, getting out of that wood.
Well, and I do the 12 Hours of Terror every year.
You do yes. that. Yeah. Which.
So I sleep in those seats too.
That's fucking crazy.
At like 3 o'clock in the morning, just nodding out to Freddy's Dead or whatever.
Your whole body's playing. Like splintered.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. I looked through all the grades for my Star Wars movies. There's nothing I want to change yet.
Okay.
I did watch Rogue One along with it. I watched Solo, A Star Wars Story. It's still a fucking D-. I can't get it an F though, because it's not so bad. It's great. Mm-hmm. It's just bad. And Donald Glover is the only redeeming part of that movie was Lando Calrissian. Uh-huh. Cause he is Lando Calrissian. And then I find out, oh, they're going to try to do a spinoff with Donald Glover as Lando. I'm like, I don't need any more Lando. I don't need any more. In fact, Josh, I would trade all of the sequel trilogy. I would trade Rogue One, Solo, Andor, Bad Batch, Rebels, and everything else that they have done. And I know this is going to sound awful.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to verbally spank me on this one, please do. If they just remade the original Star Wars so it fits in the fucking timeline properly.
Ooh.
Because there are things you could change in that dialogue wise. You could ADR dialogue and it would fit better.
Now, two things.
I never thought I would say that, by the way.
Okay. I like this.
Okay.
I think it's exciting. It's fun.
Uh-huh.
Does the OG still exist? Or are you Lucasing it where it's not available anymore?
Well, I'm Disney, right? Okay, I'm Bob Iger.
Yes.
I'm going to put it in the vault, you know, and every 8 years, hey, you want to see the special edition? Here it is.
Yes.
But I think we're there,
mm-hmm.
which, and maybe we have to wait a little bit longer for digital characters to work better.
Yeah.
We're not quite there. The Uncanny Valley is still a problem, but there's things you could do to make that movie fit better in the timeline.
Yeah.
And because that was my biggest bugaboo about the entire movie was that it's great. It is the OG. It is the greatest Star Wars movie
mm-hmm.
as a standalone. It's the best standalone Star Wars movie.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is it doesn't stand alone. I mean, when you think to yourself, that movie came out and it never had an episode number on it.
Right.
And they didn't add that till episode 5. And they were like, oh, by the way, this is episode 4. People were like, wait, the fuck it is?
Right.
Where's 1 through 3? Who starts a book in the middle?
As I look at the stack of books behind you all with Star Wars logos on them.
Well, is it here? No. I believe. Yes.
Ooh. There's a lot of fun ones.
What's his name? Sam has it. Mm. I have the original graphic novel of the original Star Wars script.
Oh, okay, cool.
Where Han Solo's a big green alien. And, oh.
Oh.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I have that. Sam's got it right now. But it is the original script before he handed it off to his friend saying, what should I change, guys? And they were like, everything. Just everything's gonna change, you know?
Come on, Georgie.
Yeah, right, right. Darth Vader was an actual name of a character.
Yes.
And Anakin and I believe Anakin and Luke are brothers.
Oh.
It's fucking wild.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it Starkiller?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And there's a lot of, when you read it, there's a lot of beats where you're like, oh, that was in this movie. That was in this movie. That was in this movie. It was like he pillaged everything from all of his movies from this particular script, just never put him in the same movie. But when you read it, you'll be like, it wouldn't make a good movie anyway. Okay. But now that we've handled that business, let's get down to business.
Also, this brings to mind, though, maybe because of the Coppola connection, but Nicolas Cage has this Brando quality where he's like, no, I'm going to go 112% in every performance.
Oh,
it's in my own direction, mind you, but I'm going to do what I do.
Nicolas Cage knows his characters so well, even the director doesn't know the character.
Yes. I can't remember. There was a great anecdote. There's an oral history talking about one of his earlier movies. And once again, it's just these great stories of Cage, like having an idea. And he's like, when he talks about doing movies as kabuki theater, like
that sounds like him.
Yeah. He's like, I want to get past words. I want to purely act. And you're just like, this guy is so fucked up, but he's got there's a method. There's some method going on there.
I can't think of a Nick Cage performance I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
But I can think of plenty of movies he was in where I was like, this is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But what you just said about, I want to do one where I'm not going to say a word. Willy's Wonderland.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He doesn't say a word in that whole movie.
Yes.
And yet, You can't stop watching him.
It's Nick Cage.
Yeah. What's he drinking? What is he drinking in that movie? Is it power-ups? I don't know. He drinks one right before he goes out every single time.
I think it's Blue Raspberry Celsius.
That's what it is, yes. Blue Raspberry Celsius. Yes. During the meeting, while Brazzi is bent over to allow Bruno Tattaglia to light a cigarette, he is stabbed in the hand by Saluzzo and is subsequently garrotted, I don't know, by an assassin. Ooh. Honestly, I expected more of a fight given to the legend of Luca Brazzi.
Like I said, I think he's a weapon. Like, someone else can wield him.
Yeah.
But he's inert on his own. I feel like if someone had been there, like, fight back, he'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And, like, started fighting.
I mean, it does take them a while to get him down.
Yes. they kill the shit out of him.
They really do. I like what you said here. You call him a golem.
Yeah. He really is. That's it. Like, when I saw, A Serious Man? Where they talk about the myth of the golem,
okay,
for the first time.
Yeah.
The Coen brothers do. It's like, okay, just this giant who does shit for you. Okay, Luca Brasi. That makes sense.
Not to go on a tangent, did you see Drive Away Dolls?
Yes.
And your thoughts?
You can guess my thoughts, Joe.
Here's what I'm going to guess.
Uh-huh.
It's a Coen movie, so it's a good movie.
It's a Coen movie. It's an exploitation film.
Very much so. I didn't expect to see that much loving.
No. I didn't expect the whole plot to revolve around said loving.
I did not either.
Yeah.
I also didn't expect myself to be attracted by Margaret Qualley's accent.
Oh, yeah.
Where the fuck did that come from?
Margaret Qualley, who is married to Jack Antonoff, who produced the Taylor Swift stuff that got her huge over the past couple years. She was already huge, but like really saturated her.
Yeah.
Also, do you know whose child she is?
No.
Andie MacDowell.
Shut the fuck up. Are you serious?
Seriously.
I had no idea.
Yes. It's insane. I was like, oh, she's... Can you be a Nepo baby for a character actor? Like, is that?
I mean, yeah, right. Like, hey, I'm a Buscemi.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm Michael Imperioli's cousin. What the hell? Okay.
Speaking of, I saw the other day on Instagram that Michael Imperioli's wife in Sopranos.
Okay.
Has an OnlyFans.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a thing now.
What? Like...
Apparently, those Sopranos royalty checks aren't filling the,
well,
the kitty.
You can't end a show like that and expect to make money later on.
I know a lot of people who are still watching it and rewatching it. I mean, I'm rewatching Game of Thrones. Come on. You can have shitty endings and rewatch things.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell people all the time, if you watch Sopranos, just watch it all the way to the second to the last episode. That's where it should end. Right there.
Okay.
You roll over the guy's head up the van and you're done. Yeah. I'm not claiming that these are on the same level.
Uh-huh.
It's the same feeling that we all had at the end of Infinity War when Thanos wipes out everybody.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Sits down at his farm like, I'm the man. He was like, no! Why would you do that?
Mine was, well, I was not going to say much more lowbrow, but did you ever watch The Shield?
Oh, I love The Shield. I have another Shield friend. I'm so happy. Oh, that is such an underrated show.
Yes. Do you remember the first episode?
Yes.
The end of that first episode, from Kid Rock kicks in a couple minutes before the end, and they just let that song roll, and you see everybody and
gets gunned down.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're like, I thought that was our main character.
Right.
I thought that was going to be our guy. Oh, shit. I'm left with all these assholes. And then you get to spend like six seasons with them.
The best part of it is that the whole show, all six or seven seasons, revolves around the one crime.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you agree, the best season is the Forrest Whitaker season.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Bar none, the best one. Yep. And just like, I want to get caught, but I don't want to get caught.
There was a real, I mean, you know, it's the golden age of TV or whatever.
Yeah.
But even like the quote unquote trash TV, like The Shield, Sons of Anarchy for a lot of it.
Yeah.
That was compelling as hell.
It really was.
Like, it was just entertaining. There's so much of this kind of, they took the actual drama from this. And they're like, well, we don't need that. Let's just keep the salacious parts and run with that. And you're like, okay, it's pretty cool.
You know what? It's your thing. You don't get The Wire without The Shield.
Yeah.
I mean, and what I love about shows like The Shield or even Buffy the Vampire Slayer is they were shows that saved their network.
Oh, yeah.
Like Buffy saved the WB back when it was whatever it was, TV 20.
Yeah,
back when it was that.
Yeah.
And, you know, The Shield saved FX for the most part. That was a that was fledgling also, and The Shield just, like, came out of fucking nowhere. And I really appreciate shows that did that. And I know people are like, well, you know, The Wire did it for HBO. I was like, no, HBO is always HBO. Stop it right now.
Yeah.
You know, and The Wire is inconsistent. Season 2 sucks.
What is season 2 the docs?
Season 2 is the docs.
Oh.
No, don't do it. Don't say it. No.
Okay.
Don't.
Okay.
You like it, didn't you?
I did. The thing that I like, oh God, what's the stupid brother?
I don't even remember.
Yeah. I don't remember their names.
Yeah.
But the, cause you always have your
McNulty
and those guys. And then you have the, whoever they're interacting with that season, whichever milieu they're in, I don't remember the guy's name. It's one of those that, like, would just come to the, you know, like Luca Brasi. It's just kind of tattooed in there now.
Yeah.
But it's not coming to me now.
Well, when they're well-written characters, you remember them.
Okay, then.
Sorry, I find The Wire to be highly overrated. it's very forgettable.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it is. And here's the thing. I watched The Wire after The Shield. And I was like, no, The Shield's better.
Okay.
By a country mile. The Wire is large. Like, again, I remember McNulty. What was the name of Idris Elba's character?
God dang it.
And who did he work for?
Okay, but once again, we're back like 20 years.
These were the main villains of the show.
Yes.
That's how poorly written this show was. You can't remember the villains.
Listen. I'm off my ass on Blue Raz Celsius right now, so you can't trust anything I'm saying.
Okay.